SRF 2 Kultur.
Erinnerung immer verbleiben als das Jahr, an dem der amerikanische Präsident John F. Kennedy ermordet wurde. Ein unbeschreiblicher Verlust für die USA und für die Welt, aber nicht nur. Es war auch der Beginn eines neuen Kapitels in der amerikanischen Geschichte. Ein Kapitel, das groß mit dem Titel «Dunkle Machenschaften» oder auch mit «Verschwörungen» überschrieben werden könnte. Hören Sie die Augenzeugenberichte jenes schicksalhaften Tages. Jenes Tages, der ein Freitag war, der 22. November 1963, der Tag, an dem John F. Kennedy ermordet wurde. Er begann ganz heiter. Ein gut gelaunter Präsident hielt eine kurze, humorvolle Ansprache, war sehr zum Scherzen aufgelegt und er nahm das texanische Lokalkolorit auf die Schippe.
Two years ago I said that introduced myself in Paris by saying that I was the man who had accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. I'm getting that somewhat that same sensation as I travel around Texas.
Dann um 11.37 Uhr trifft Air Force One, der Jet des amerikanischen Präsidenten, auf dem Rollfeld von Dallas Love Field ein. Ein großer Moment auch für die lokalen Reporter, die darauf hinweisen, dass es ein riesiges Sicherheitsaufgebot gebe, dass man alles, aber auch alles getan habe, um die Sicherheit des Präsidenten zu gewährleisten. Man habe auch die Fenster der Route seiner Parade alle kontrolliert.
It looks like a police convention. We have never seen as many Dallas police officers in one location in all of our years of covering Dallas news, but they are here in great profusion. The security precautions at this luncheon they're going to attend range from the distance from the president's car door to the trademark entrance and to how many doors and windows are in the building, and even the method of selecting the steak the president will eat. And here is the presidential jet. U.S. Air Force number one, printed on the side, and the crowd begins its cheer, which you can't hear over the whistle and hum of the jets, but handkerchiefs are being waved, the placards are being held high, and hundreds of tiny American flags are now being waved toward the presidential jet. The doors fly open, and the loading ladders are being wheeled into place. This is a split-second timed operation for the Secret Service and the Air Force and the Signal Corps. Nothing left to chance. Every possible precaution has been taken.
Als erste betritt Jackie Kennedy das Rollfeld, einen Strauß roter Rosen in der Hand.
The reception line is formed and there is Mrs. Kennedy, the First Lady, stepping from the plane, wearing a bright pink suit with a dark fur collar and a matching pink hat. And the president, wearing a dark suit, steps off directly behind. Mrs. Kennedy has been presented her bouquet of brilliant red roses, and they make a lovely contrast to the...
Und dann, als müsste er sich eines Schicksals vergewissern, liest der Reporter nochmals vor, auf welcher Route sich der Konvoi des Präsidenten bewegen wird, um dann zu schildern, wie John F. Kennedy spontan beschließt, die wartende Menge auf dem Flughafen mit Händeschütteln zu begrüßen. Eine Situation, sagt der Reporter, der die Sicherheitsleute des Präsidenten wie so oft ins Schwitzen bringt.
Now those of you who are waiting along the parade route, just to be sure that you find yourself in the proper location, let's give it to you once again. The party is now ready to depart Love Field. It will go Mockingbird Lane to Lemon Avenue, then travel south on Lemon to Turtle Creek, Cedar Springs, through the downtown area on Harwood to Main, west on Main to Houston, through the Triple Underpass to Stemmons Freeway, then on to the Trademark. The president's car is being delayed momentarily. We can't see from here exactly what is holding it up. But this is the moment where the Secret Service has its point of tension. As we have talked with many of these Secret Service men in the past few days who've arranged for the president's security, they say when the president stops moving, that's when we're concerned, because that is when the possibility of trouble comes to the forefront. And here comes the president now. In fact, he's not in his limousine. He's departed the limousine and he is walking. He is reaching across the fence, shaking hands with many of the people who have come here to see him, He is closely accompanied by Dallas police officers and, of course, the Secret Service. But Mr. Kennedy stepped out of the automobile. He is now shaking hands. Mrs. Kennedy is right behind him, and they are walking along the line of the fence, shaking hands with some of the hundreds of people who have come here to view their arrival. Thousands of children now swarming, trying to get over the fence, the Dallas police trying to keep them back, and the security is tense at this time, but is going beautifully. And now the President and First Lady are retreating from the fence. They're heading now for the official limousine where Governor Connally stands, waiting their arrival so that they can make their way downtown and out to the Trade Mart. But this was one of those impromptu moments for which President Kennedy is so well known. So many times you have heard that the Secret Service men suddenly find themselves without the President, that suddenly he has left them and stepped into the crowd, the milling throng, and decided to shake hands and give his personal greetings. And this, once again, he did. There's the gunmetal gray limousine, blue and gray, pulling away now.
Der Konvoi rollt endlich davon auf der vorgesehenen Route. Es war gegen 12.30 Uhr an diesem Tag, als der Wagen des Präsidenten im Konvoi auf die Elm Street einbog. Hier fielen die Schüsse. Ein Reporter, der im Konvoi mitfuhr, schildert die dramatischen Momente.
The President's car is now turning onto Elm Street, and it will be only a matter of minutes before he arrives at the Trade Mart. I was on Stemmons Freeway earlier, and even the freeway was jam-packed with spectators waiting their chance to see the President as he made his way toward the Trade Mart. It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street, there by the Stemmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. I repeat, a shooting in the motorcade in the downtown area. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. The President's car is now going past me. The limousine is now traveling at a very high rate of speed. Secret Service men standing up in the limousine. They are armed with submachine guns. It appears as though someone in the limousine might have been hit by the gunfire.
Put me on, Phil. Put me on. Phil, am I on? We're here at the Trade Mart. The motorcade is coming by here. I can see many, many motorcycles coming by now. Police motorcycles. Just heard a call on the radio for all units along Industrial to pick up the motorcade. Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You can see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connally are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital. We're on the road to Parkland at this time. Secret Service man is still spread eagle over whoever is in the car, the President and Mrs. Kennedy, and as we understand, Governor and Mrs. Connally. At this point, it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car may have been the victims, may have been struck by shots. We don't know. Parkland Hospital in the distance. Now we're on Harry Hines Boulevard, following behind the motorcade. Many, many police officers, maybe 20 or 25 motorcycle policemen, falling in behind at the Trade Mart. A huge crowd left behind, waiting expectantly to see the President. The motorcade now perhaps two or three blocks ahead of me. They're approaching the entrance now to Parkland Hospital, traveling at a high rate of speed. Already police cars converging on Parkland from every angle, from every point. I'm pulling in now toward Parkland Hospital, coming to the approach. There's an officer waving me down. He's waving me around. There's a cordon. There's already a cordon of police officers running from their cars. From their vehicles here. The official party, as I can see it, pulling around toward the emergency room of Parkland Hospital. The policeman says, no, you cannot come in here. You cannot come in here. We'll let nobody else in. I'm going to try to go around to the back of Parkland. I'm going around now, and I will try to get around to the back of Parkland and find out more details. It was definitely the President's car. We could see the First Lady's pink suit. That's the only identification we could see, but we know it is the President's car.
another car directly behind the presidential car. There were also bodies in that car. Another Secret Service man spread eagle over them. We don't know. Perhaps there was some hit in that car as well. We're not sure. Coming around behind Parkland Hospital, more details as we have them. Ron Jenkins, KBOX Mobile Unit.
Noch weiß keiner genau, was geschehen ist. Noch ist unklar, wer angeschossen wurde und wie schwer verletzt. Hier die Perspektive eines anderen Reporters, der von drei Schüssen spricht und schildert, wie die Sicherheitsleute zum Wagen des Präsidenten hinzugesprungen sind.
Just a few minutes ago, the President of the United States turned from Houston Street onto Elm Street on his way to a scheduled luncheon appearance at the Stemmons Trademark. And as he went by the Texas School Book Depository, headed for the Triple Underpass, there were three loud, reverberating explosions. Nobody moved. Everyone seemed stunned. A few seemed to look around, wondering who has the firecrackers. Then suddenly, the Secret Service men sprang into action. The convertible bearing the President and Mrs. Kennedy sped away, and officers, both plainclothes and uniformed, seemed to spring from everywhere at once, guns drawn, ordering people to lie flat. There are two witnesses who were near the president's car at the time of the explosions who say that shots were fired. From which upper window, we do not know. We do not and cannot confirm the reports at this time that the president has been shot. One witness says he definitely was shot, that he was hit twice, that he saw the president slump in his seat. As I say, this is not confirmed at this time. From where I am, the police have two witnesses. They are bringing them in now. I'm in the Texas School Book Depository building. They're bringing some witnesses in now. We will try to learn further.
Auch dieser Reporter sagte, es sei noch unklar, ob der Präsident angeschossen sei. Der Reporter, der beim Gebäude ist, aus dem tatsächlich geschossen wurde, dem Texas Bookstore Depository Building. Ein weiterer Reporter berichtet vom Parkland Memorial Hospital.
Jenkins at Parkland Hospital, and here everybody's talking about a tragedy that should never have happened. We've received first unconfirmed reports as to conditions of President Kennedy and Governor Ralph, or rather Governor John Connolly. And just now we've received reports here at Parkland that Governor Connolly was shot in the upper left chest, and the first unconfirmed reports say the president was hit in the head. That's an unconfirmed report that the president was hit in the head. The president's wife, Jackie Kennedy, was not hurt. She walked into the hospital at her husband's stretcher side. And a Dallas newsman, Mel Couch, said he was riding shortly behind the president in the parade. He said after the shots were fired, he happened to look up at about the fifth or sixth floor.
Es gibt Hinweise, dass der Präsident angeschossen wurde, dass er am Kopf getroffen wurde. Und der Schütze wurde gesehen. Es wurde gesehen, wie er sein Gewehr aus einem Fenster des Texas Bookstore Depository Building zurückzog. Ein Augenzeuge berichtet, was er gesehen hat. Eine schockierende Nachricht für alle, dass John F. Kennedy getroffen wurde von mindestens zwei Schüssen.
The rifle was drawn from the window. I happened to be about 15 feet away from the president when the first shot hit him. There is some discussion now as to whether there was one or two shots that hit him, but the first shot rang out, and I was positive when I saw the look on his face and saw him grab his chest and saw the reaction of his wife that he had been shot. And just at that time, which was probably a few seconds later, the second shot rang out, and he just absolutely went down into the seat of the car. There was a third shot that went, and by that time I had grabbed my little five-year-old boy who was with me and ran away from the scene of the thing. But the only thing that I did witness, and something I'm sorry I did witness very honestly, was that the look on his face when that shot hit, and the look again on him and his wife's face when the shot started to ring out, and it was very obviously that he was hit. The first two shots that were heard, and the first one hit the president, there was no doubt whatsoever, because his face winced and he grabbed at himself and he slumped down. I do believe without any doubt that the second one hit him, because he had an immediate reaction with that second shot. I do know there was a third shot, but as I say, by that time I had grabbed my boy and started to go. I did not witness Governor Connolly's being hit.
Und bereits hat sich ein anderer Radioreporter beim Texas Bookstore Depository Building eingefunden und schildert, was sich hier abspielt. Eine Menge Polizei, Sicherheitsleute, die ins Gebäude stürzen, Zwei Verdächtige werden festgenommen, aber bereits ist ein Signalement des Täters bekannt. Noch hat er keinen Namen.
The shots apparently came from the fifth floor of the Texas Bookstore Depository Building, possibly from an automatic cut weapon. Police were looking for a young white man dressed in a white shirt with Levi's, carrying a lever-action type rifle. One witness told reporters that he had seen the rifle disappearing from that window after the shots were fired. Senator Ralph Yarbrough told a KBOX reporter that he was riding three cars behind the president's car when he heard three distinct rifle shots. The motorcade then increased in speed, running to Parkland Hospital.
Just a moment, we have a bulletin coming in. We now switch you directly to Parkland Hospital.
Dann, kurz nach 13 Uhr, kommt die offizielle Bestätigung.
The President of the United States is dead. I have just talked to Father Oscar Hubert of the Holy Trinity Catholic Church. He and another priest tell me that the pair of men have just administered the last rites of the Catholic Church to President Kennedy. I asked the father, is Mr. Kennedy dead? And his quote, he's dead all right. And just a few seconds ago, I talked to Thurman Ward, the Justice of the Peace of Garland. He's now here at the hospital to apparently officially declare that the chief executive of the United States has expired. President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead. Women here in shock, some fainted. Grown men, Secret Service men standing by the emergency room, tears streaming down their face. There's only one word to describe the picture here, and that's grief, and much of it. It's official. As of just a few moments ago, the President of the United States is dead.
Sofort wird John F. Kennedys Leiche zur Air Force One überführt. Ein Krankenwagenfahrer erzählt.
Dennis, what happened to the hearse?
We were standing by there. One of the Secret Service men come up and told us that we would have to help putting the president into the casket and getting him to the airport before we put the president in his casket. Well, the president's wife placed her, took her wedding band. It looked to be like her wedding band off of her finger.
Im Innern des Flugzeugs, im Innern von Air Force One spielen sich dramatische, traurige, erschütternde Szenen ab. Marymont Smith, der dienstälteste Korrespondent im Weißen Haus, berichtet.
A Dallas police officer drove me from the hospital to the airport, and I went aboard Air Force One. The large center cabin was darkened, all shades drawn, members of the Kennedy staff sitting stunned, staring straight ahead, some crying softly. Sarah T. Hughes, 67-year-old federal judge, old friend of the Johnsons, rushed in a special car to the big white ramp at the front of Air Force One. Someone pressed a small black Bible into the hands of the judge as she went aboard. Secret Service agents gently placed the coffin in the rear cabin of the plane, a cabin, incidentally, which served as the living room for the president and his family when they were airborne. Jackie went to a small bedroom. She wanted a few moments to compose herself. Then Mrs. Kennedy walked down the narrow corridor from her bedchamber and into the lounge. She was dry-eyed, but her face was a mask of shock. As a man might lead a small child, Johnson took her hand and led Jackie to a place at his left side. Mrs. Johnson stood at his right. Johnson then nodded to the judge, and thus a new chapter of American history began.
Noch im Flugzeug, das auf dem Rollfeld stand, legte Vizepräsident Lyndon B. Johnson seinen Amtseid ab.
I do solemnly swear, that I will faithfully execute, the office of President of the United States, and will to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, defend, the Constitution of the United States.
Dann hebt Air Force One ab und Merriman Smith, der Korrespondent, schildert, wie Jackie Kennedy keine Minute vom Sarg, in dem sich ihr Mann befindet, weicht, während des ganzen Fluges nicht.
The ceremony had taken only 2 minutes. It was 2:38 p.m. Central Standard Time, and the president called out quite firmly, "Now let's get airborne." The pilot, Colonel James Swindoll, immediately started the engines of the big gleaming silver and blue fan jet, and in another few minutes, Air Force One roared down the Dallas runway. Once the plane was airborne, the Johnsons settled down in the lounge where the swearing-in ceremony had taken place. Mrs. Kennedy left her bedroom again and walked slowly down the corridor to the rear cabin. She sat down beside the coffin, and there she remained throughout the flight, never more than a matter of inches from her husband's body.
Nach der Landung in Washington wendet sich Lyndon B. Johnson erstmals an die Öffentlichkeit, an die Weltöffentlichkeit, muss man sagen. Er spricht von einem erschütternden, tief traurigen Tag und dass er als der nächste Präsident der Vereinigten Staaten auf die Mithilfe aller angewiesen sei und auf Gottes Hilfe.
This is a sad time for all people. We have suffered a loss that cannot be weighed. For me, it is a deep personal tragedy. I know that the world shares the sorrow that Mrs. Kennedy and her family bear. I will do my best. That is all I can do. I ask for your help and God's.
Derweil wird in Dallas noch am selben Nachmittag Lee Harvey Oswald verhaftet, jener Mann, der als Aushilfe im Texas Bookstore Depository Building arbeitete, jener Mann, der auf offener Straße einen Polizisten erschoss und jener Mann, auf den das Signalement des Täters zutraf. Er wurde schließlich in einem Kino verhaftet.
Was interrogating his third person when, as he approached him, the suspect jumped up, struck him in the face and yelled, "This is it," and made a grab for a pistol which was inside his shirt, down in his belt. The officer and the suspect both began to grapple for the pistol. The pistol trigger was pulled one time, but the gun misfired. By then, at the officer's call, the rest of us got into the situation and subdued the suspect, disarmed him, handcuffed him, put him in the car from the station and turned him over to Captain Fritz in the Homicide Bureau.
It was a calculating man who...
Doch der Verhaftete bestritt jede Schuld. Er habe niemanden erschossen, sagte Lee Harvey Oswald den wartenden Reportern.
Against the wall.
These people have given me a hearing without legal representation or anything.
Did you shoot the president?
I didn't shoot anybody, no, sir.
Why, sir?
Dennoch für alle, für die Presse, für die Polizei von Dallas, für die Sicherheitsleute, für alle war klar, Lee Harvey Oswald war der Mann, der den 35. Präsidenten der USA erschossen hatte.
This is Joe Long in Dallas, and here are the latest breaking developments in the story surrounding yesterday's assassination of President Kennedy. Homicide Captain Will Fritz of Dallas told us just a few moments ago, "This case is cinched. I cannot say more about the evidence, but the case is cinched. This is the man who killed President Kennedy."
Nur zwei Tage nach der Tat, am Sonntag, den 24. November 1963, wird Lee Harvey Oswald erschossen von einem Mann namens Jack Ruby, dessen Motive und dessen Hintergründe bis heute im Dunkeln bleiben.
Yeah, he's gotta be here. There he is. There he comes.
Now the prisoner wearing a black sweater, he has changed from his T-shirt, is being moved out toward an armored car. Being let out by Captain Fritz. There is the prisoner. Do you have anything to say in your defense? There is a shot. Oswald has been shot. Oswald has been shot. A shot rang out. Mass confusion here. All the doors have been locked. Holy mackerel. A shot rang out as he was led into his car. The shot, there's a mass confusion there. Rolling and fighting. As he was being led out, now he's being led back. He was thrown to the ground. The police have the entire area blocked off.
Ein neues Kapitel in der Geschichte tat sich auf. Die USA waren nicht nur zum ersten Mal Opfer eines terroristischen Anschlags geworden, mit der Ermordung von John F. Kennedy und der anschließenden Erschießung des mutmaßlichen Attentäters Lee Harvey Oswald kamen auch viele Mutmaßungen über mögliche Verschwörungen in die Welt und sie beschäftigen uns bis heute. Die Ermordung von John F. Kennedy am 22. November 1963 in Dallas, eine Sendung im Rahmen unserer Serie Schicksalsjahr 1963, zusammengestellt und moderiert von Christoph Keller.
Erfahren Sie mehr über unsere Sendungen auf unserer Homepage srf.ch.